Ethos New York Knick podcast, Andre Gallagher. All right, well, you kind of saw that coming, that Miami game. It kind of played out exactly the way you would think, right? Knicks look a little worn down, and Jalen looks a little worn down, and can't carry the team every night. Miami's ready to rock. They're trying to make their little playoff push. They're trying to get out of the play-in if possible, but I think they're comfortable there too because they're weirdos. This is a game that had some troubling things in it. Like, you didn't see a good game from Mitchell Robinson. I think I told you that I thought Mitchell Robinson can be effective against Miami. He was not effective at all last night. Swimming Pool on Twitter was making the point that Mitchell Robinson doesn't have a place for heavy minutes against Miami. I agree with that. You know, I've been talking about Mitchell Robinson all year long, right? On that front, I'm not gonna, you know, beat him down. I do think he has more of a place against Miami than insinuated in that tweet. But he did say heavy minutes, right? So I agree. I don't think he should get heavy minutes against Miami. I think when the game becomes a scrum, Mitchell, and obviously Mitchell's also just coming back from injury, right? So it's also not fair. But if the game becomes a scrum, you can't have a situation where Mitch isn't a factor in offense. Like, you're not making the pocket passes, you're not throwing alley-oops, you're not making them pay for not guarding them. Yeah, you can't have situations where Mitchell is not screening the weak side defender so you can get the corner three. Like, you can't have him not be a factor on offense in some way, shape, form, or fashion outside of getting offensive rebounds. And if he's not getting offensive rebounds, that's also an issue. You know, so does Kevin Love, you know, obviously one of the better rebounders in the game. That's not his role necessarily right now, but you know, when he needs to, he's gonna box you out. He's gonna get that board. He knows how to rebound. For younger fans out there, Kevin Love was a special rebounder when he was in his prime, and he was asked to do that sort of thing. He's more of a stretch five now than anything else, so he doesn't get those offensive boards. But defensively, he gets a body on you. He's gonna box you out. Even though Mitch has some size and athleticism advantages on him, but he didn't play well last night. You also didn't see Hartenstein play well last night. I wonder if Hartenstein's Achilles started flaring up on him because he didn't come back in the game. You know, I see a lot of people, you know, because everyone's a prisoner of the moment and they act like one game is the whole season. I've seen people suggesting there are politics involved in Hartenstein not coming back in the game. Like, what is the game? What team are you watching that you think Tibbs is playing politics with Hartenstein? Of all people. Like, come on, man. I think Tibbs had a little, you know, put faith in Precious because, you know, revenge game, kind of what I talked about last show. I think he had a little faith in Precious, but Precious did help them come back in that fourth quarter a little bit too, right? So, but I think Hartenstein's Achilles flared up on him. I think that's the main reason why you didn't see him, because Hartenstein and what he does is probably most effective against teams like Miami. I'm not saying just Miami, but teams that are good, high IQ defensive teams, that's really where you need Hartenstein. You need him in those situations. So the fact that he didn't play that much and didn't play well when he was in the game, it makes me think that Hartenstein is struggling with that Achilles again, or maybe another issue. So that's something to keep an eye on. Again, a troubling trend. You don't want him to get hurt because you can forget about it. You really can. So that's three in a row, and when they lost that San Antonio game, I said at the time they could be looking at three losses in a row, unfortunately. But if you're realistic about it, you assume the San Antonio win, and you know that OKC and Miami could be losses, right? So I thought they would have three, maybe four losses in their last 10 games. I think I did it when there was 11 games left, but in their last 10 games, well, right now they're at three. I thought that's what they needed to do. I thought that's what they were going to be doing. And right now they have three. So they have games left, and they only have I think there's 7 games left. So there's no way they're going these 7 games with just one loss. I think the team is worn down. I think Jalen's worn down. I think Jalen's playing hurt. The whole idea of the Knicks just need to make the playoffs, just rest everyone. Like, that's so such nonsense. I can't with you. I can't with you. But let me just say this. I think it's possible. It's not likely, but I think it's possible they can go 5-2 the rest of the remainder of the season. I think it's possible. I think it's more likely if you base it on on this whole season and how this team has played all season, I would say it's more likely they go 4-3. I think if they were not worn down, I think 5-2 would be more, be more realistic. But them being worn down and them not looking good, I think that's, to me, that's what's probably, that's going to be the main reason why they don't limit this to 2 more losses for the rest of the season. This Kings game is a huge game. I think this the Kings have had some injuries. Malik Monk was, a big factor in the last game they played. They didn't get a great game from De'Aaron Fox. We talked about Sabonis. If you don't have a healthy Hartenstein, things are going to get tricky. But I do think a Mitchell Robinson, who's, reasonably effective, if he's not going to be effective at all, it's going to be an issue. But I think a Mitchell Robinson who's reasonably effective and gives Sabonis a hard time. So hopefully Hartenstein is healthy. I think because they've lost Malik Monk, I feel a little bit more confident that the Knicks can pull this Kings game out. If Malik Monk was playing after the way the Kings were talking after that last game, looking forward to playing the Knicks again and being more physical. Malik Monk was at the, he was really loud and proud on that front. So, unfortunately for the Kings, him not playing is going to hurt them in this game. And I think if the Knicks could, find if Jalen Brunson can find his flow again, and is not banged up, and if Hartenstein's not banged up, if they're reasonably healthy, I think they can pull that game out. It's obviously a tough game. It's a big game. It's a tough game. But if you have faith in the team and the way they've played, even with the players who are on the court, or I should say with the players who are not on the court, you have to believe they can win this game. A little bit of wishful thinking, I admit, but I really do feel like they can pull this game out. I don't think this is a game that is a guaranteed L. I don't think this game is any tougher than the OKC game. I don't think this game is any tougher than playing Miami on the road, with Miami fighting for their playoff positioning. I think the Kings are fighting hard. I think they got Mike Brown's a good coach, and he's really going to find where they came up short in the last game and really correct some of those ills. But and Keon Ellis, I thought he played as well as Jalen played. I thought Keon Ellis played well as well defensively. He got caught in that play. He was embarrassed. He didn't want some get back. So it's not going to be an easy game. It's not going to be an easy game. But, they almost have to win They almost have to win it. Because now we're at the point where you got to win all the Bulls games. And I gave the Bulls one of the games, I think, when I went initially. Now they don't have that luxury anymore of losing any of the Bulls games. They got to win the Bulls games. You got to assume that Boston and the Bucks might be else. And yes, can the Knicks fight and pull it off? Sure, but you got to assume that those are likely L's. Now they could be resting guys and all of that stuff. So, things might take a turn in the Knicks' favor, but the Knicks still have an opportunity to have less losses than the Cavs and the Magic. And I mentioned the Magic last episode. I think Magic are not necessarily playing well right now, and they have a tougher schedule down the stretch. And so do the Cavs. The Cavs have more losses down the stretch, if you're looking at the schedule, than the Knicks do. So the Knicks still in a good spot if they can pull out this Kings game. Like I said, 3-4 losses for the rest of the season. If you lose a Kings game, that's at 4. Now you're in a real tough spot because now you got Bucks and Celtics, and you gotta win one of those games. You gotta win one of those games. They can stay at three losses. They can get to five losses. They can lose the Bucks. They can lose to the Celtics, and I think they can still be okay because they had the tiebreaker on Cleveland, and I just don't think Orlando is going to be able to keep pace if they win against the Kings and they beat the Bulls and they beat the Nets. And they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and they lose to the teams they're supposed to lose to, and it should be okay. And back to you guys who keep saying just make the playoffs. You want the Knicks to go to the play-in, and you want them to have to play Miami in the play-in. You want them to have to play a healthy Embiid now in the play-in. That's what you want? That's what you think? You don't know if Randle's going to come back at this point, and you saw comments from Tibbs yesterday, and now go into those in a minute. You don't know what situation OG is. You assume he's going to play in the playoffs. You have to assume that. Let's not cry wolf here. He's probably going to play in the playoffs unless something takes a turn. But he's not going to, he's probably not shooting the ball well. Okay, let's just say that. Probably not going to shoot the ball well. You want to go and you want to play Miami in the play-in? You want to play 76ers in the play-in? You want to play a revamped Atlanta team that's playing great defense, and DeJounte Murray's out there trying to prove to the world that Trae Young is a dick and is getting his way on the court. That's what you want? That's just being a cocky fan. That's not being realistic. That's not being objective. You don't want to play those teams in the play-in when you go balls to the wall and win the games that are in front of you in the schedule, and you can stay at least in the 4 or 5 and still have a chance at the 3. And I know the Knicks are not going to do that. So I'm really talking to the fans. Stop thinking that this team is so good at this point that they can just make it to the play-in and that's it. That's ridiculous. And I can give you a little bit more slack 6 weeks ago when you thought, Randle's going to be back and healthy and OG's going to be back and healthy and Mitchell's going to be back and healthy. Now you're seeing that even if these guys come back, they're not going to be healthy. They're not. So if you can get that week off between the end of the season and the playoffs, if you can get that week off, it's an advantage. If you can get home court advantage in the first round, it's an advantage. You need every advantage. You need every advantage you can get. If you can get that 3 seed and stay out of Boston's bracket in the second round, you take it. You take it. So, but again, let's not worry about Boston right now. You heard me talking about Boston in that second round all year long. I'm going to take a step back from that. Let's just focus on winning the games in front of them so that they can get this first round home court advantage. Because things are falling apart a little bit. And again, I don't want to be the boy who cries wolf, but things are falling apart a little bit. The guys are getting banged up. They're losing a little bit of their mojo. They're having to fight too hard to win these games. Now, you did see a better game from Bogdanovich yesterday, which is kind of surprising against Miami. But if you could see a little bit more of that, that would be great. And you can see the Knicks still came up short in the game because you didn't get the Hartenstein game. And pretty much everybody on the team was in the minus except for Bogdanovich, which is funny. But I'm not going to read too much in the Miami game. If you remember last regular season, the Knicks played Miami and beat them in the season series, and then struggled against them in the playoffs. Yeah, they almost pushed the series in 7 games, but the regular season matchups don't mean much. Miami's playing hard. You got a really good game from Terry Rozier, and Rozier can be up and down. He can be real hot and he can run real cold. That was the first game Rozier played with Miami against the Knicks, and now the Knicks got a chance to see what that's like to have him on the court. Tyler Hero might be back, and Tyler Hero changes the dynamics of the Miami Heat, not always in a positive way, by the way. So, I don't read too much into this Miami game. You were hopeful the Knicks can win it and pull it out. But it wasn't in the cards. This goes back to the San Antonio loss. It goes back to the OKC loss. I felt like they had to win one of those games if you were going to lose San Antonio, could lose OKC, but it was predictable to lose that game. It was predictable to lose to Miami. Now, once again, this Kings game becomes even bigger. You lose this Kings game, and you put yourself in a situation where you kind of have to run the table against. You do, you still do, but you almost have to take one loss for the rest of the season if you're going to keep even the 4 seed. Like, I shouldn't say keep because they're in the 5 seed right now, but you're going to fall. They're going to fall, stay at the 5, and possibly fall to the 6. Like, I can understand if you think, I don't care if the Knicks fall to the 6. Like, I can understand that, but please understand that falling to the 6 is not necessarily, I mean, you're speaking at it like it's a fixed position. If they fall, they may not fall to the 6. They may fall to the 7 or the 8, right? So you're not predicting a fall to the 6. You're predicting a fall, and that fall could be out to the play-in. So yes, if you settle with the 6, all right, man. You're the 6 seed. You got to play the Cavs in the first round. Hey, let's rock. It is what it is. But you can't predict the 6. So don't go out there saying Knicks should just lose and it doesn't matter. That's just silly. It does matter. It matters greatly. The whole season is for nothing if they fall into that play-in. Because I'm telling you right now, I have no confidence Knicks get out of the play-in. None. None. I'm telling you right now, that's objective. That's not fan talk. That's objective. If they have to play the Sixers and the Heat in the play-in and the Hawks, they're gonna lose. Those are three teams that right now are primed and ready to beat the Knicks in a one-game scenario. You need hero ball from Jalen Brunson, and all of those teams can get in the way, except for maybe the Hawks. All of those teams can get in the way of hero ball Brunson. You saw Miami playing well in this game. Miami has a bone to pick with him. They're letting people play more physical. They're a physical team. He's not getting calls. This is not last year. You don't want to see Miami in a one-game playoff where Jalen has to be a hero. You don't want to see the 76ers in a one-game playoff where Jalen has to be the hero because Oubre's been playing him well. And they're going to dig Batum up to play him. And yes, Brunson can make tough shots and did against the 76ers, but he can't do it all the time. Knicks can figure things out against the Cavs. I grant you that. I can see your confidence there, even though I don't share it fully. I also don't want to see the Magic in the first round because I don't want to see Jonathan Isaac. So, I'm not gonna sit here and be all scary about every single matchup because now you don't want to play anybody. But I just know what the Knicks' limitations are as long as these guys are unhealthy. And I just don't know if you guys appreciate, like, you let things get too high. The whole reason why there was such good vibes with this team and what they were trying to do, or what they were actually doing by winning without these guys, is because they were winning when they weren't supposed to be winning. And now they're losing, and now you're like, what's wrong with the team? And it's like, no, man. This is what it looks like to not have guys like that playing. This is what it looks like to not have Bogdanovich playing well and Burks playing well. Guys who are supposed to be big parts of the rotation. This is what it looks like when Josh Hart is not hitting outside shots. This is what it looks like when you take away Deuce McBride's spot-up shooting. This is what it looks like when Jalen Brunson can't carry the team every night, all night long. This is what it's supposed to look like. And what they were doing before, the reason why it was so special is because they were winning when they weren't supposed to be winning. They were gutting it out. And now they can't. So you need to understand that it's not that there's something wrong with the team and wrong, they're, yes, they're not playing well. I'm not gonna say they're not playing well, but it's just not necessarily an indictment on who they are. It's literally who they should be, who they're supposed to be. They need OG and Randle. It's as simple as that. I think I told you early in the year, I said with Hartenstein, They're competitive against every team in the league, and they have been. That's not changed. I said with OG, they can beat any team in the league because their defensive foundation is going to be strong. They're going to have a chance. But could beat doesn't mean will beat, especially when OG can't shoot. If OG can't shoot, that's a whole nother thing, right? But with Randall, OG, Hartenstein, Brunson, go down the line, now they're contenders. Even if Bogdanovich isn't playing well, they're contenders. Burke's not playing well, they're still contenders. That's the difference. Contenders, you can say, hey, whatever the first round matchup is, we good. Competitive teams can beat anyone? Nah, you don't want that. You don't want the 76ers in a one-game playoff. You don't want Miami in a one-game playoff. Atlanta in a one-game playoff. If I have OG, I think I feel a little confident against Atlanta, assuming OG can make a shot. But that's it. I guess the rest of those teams. Come on now. But like we said, you want to have fun, right? You want to be entertained? Be ready for this Kings game. The Knicks know how big this Kings game is. They know how big that Miami game was, too. But like I said, I think they're running out of gas. They're running out of gas. They knew how big the OKC game was. They got beat at the end by a better team. The Kings, I don't think the Kings are necessarily a better team. I think they can figure it out against the Kings as long as Brunson has some reasonable level of health and Hartenstein has some reasonable level of health. You pray for that. They go out there. They play the Kings. And now things are going to start looking a little bit easier out there, right? Beat the Kings. Beat the Kings. One game at a time. Beat the Kings. At Sports Ethos on Twitter. At Ethos Knicks. Andre Gallagher. At The Watchers 7. I guess I got to stop seeing Twitter, but I'm not. Until next time. Thank you.